Amen. 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 Huh? Amen. God is good, huh? Man. We could just go back to that worship, huh? Let's get that music going again. Well, I believe that God has a word for you this morning. Amen. Praise God. And when I mean a word, I mean a word. It's definitely, you know, God speaks to you sometimes and you know that it's for you to share. I think that, I believe that we all go through life so that we can share what we go through. It's because other people go through the same things, no? We all go through similar things. Obviously, it's not the same, but it's similar at root. It's all trying, it's all trials, it's all, sometimes it's all junk, right? Well, let's pray. Let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you and we glorify you. We give you honor and praise and we worship you. And we know that your word today is for us today and this day to go forth and to make us stronger, to make us wiser, to make us better believers and better people and better followers of your word and better Christians and strong and powerful in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. 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 Well, I'm going to do a little exercise with you this morning. We're going to do a little exercise. We're going to get up and we're going to run to 10th Street Park. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't want to do that, so we're not going to do that. No. I'm going to give a word. I'm going to tell you a word, all right, a word. And what I want you to do is I want you to just shout at me the first thing that pops in your head, all right, if you're brave enough, all right? And can we do this? Are we cool? Yeah, let's do that, yeah. Okay. Now, I don't want you to play this, as Johnny Rowlett would say, Christianese, and try to make whatever's in your head sound really, really proper and really, really PC and really, 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 really Bible-based. Just whatever pops in your mind. I did this with myself the other day with the same word. I tried to clear my mind, and then I looked at the word, and boom. And then I sent out a message yesterday to some of the guys I know and had them kind of spring back what they thought. And it was really interesting what came back and so I'm gonna do this here. All right. I'm gonna give whatever. Just shout it out. Okay, we cool with that? Say amen. Amen. All right, you ready? I wish I had like Jeopardy music or something. That'd be... Peter, no, I'm just kidding. I can see you in the mirror. All right, ready? Here we go. Close your eyes. And you don't have to look around. Just whatever. Just say it, okay? Ready? The word is humble.
Jesus.
Pie? Peaceful. What? No pride. All right, that's good. All those good things. I was looking for some other things, but you know what? In my text messages yesterday, I got some cool stuff, right? We all say Jesus, joy, pride, prayer, not pride, prayer, all these things that we talked about, humble pie, you know, great. I got this in some of my texts. I got soft, weak, small, selfless, meek. And I think if we combine all of those things, we can see what a society we are to take a word like humble and make it into something that it's not and never was supposed to be. I like that we speak out Jesus and because, you know, what you speak from your mouth comes from your heart. So that means sometimes when we immediately speak, that's what's in our heart. That's what the Bible says. So sometimes as pastors or as youth pastors or as parents, we try to tell our kids and whatever to think before you speak, right? But I got those words from people. I got a bunch of other stuff too. I got, what was my phone? You know, humble is what we're going to be talking about today. And in your Bibles, humble is interesting. I don't know about any of you, if you do like word studies or you're reading a scripture and then a word just kind of like bolds in your face and right? And you like, what does that really mean right there, right? And you study it and you look at it and you think, how does that apply to my life? How does that apply to your life? How does it apply to what's going on? And let me tell you, whatever word it is that sticks out to you in the Bible, it applies to your life. Amen. I got, knowing who you are and who you belong to. I got humble equals meek. And there's more to that, but I want to get into what that is. A virtue that speaks of confidence. Properly placed confidence. One gentleman wrote in and said, try not to get upset. You know, I want to know what's in people's hearts about a certain word because I want us to understand what it means to be humble as a Christian. What does it mean to be humble for me when somebody says, you know, you need to humble yourself, or the Bible says to be humble? What does that mean? I think we need to fully understand what it means to be humble because it's more than you think. It's more than we believe. It's more than what we even know. Maybe it's just me then. Maybe you all are smarter than me, and that's probably true. But be that as it may, I think that as a society, we don't really know what that word means. And so the word humble and its derivatives, humility, humbleness, and all that stuff, is repeated in the Old Testament and the New Testament about or a little over 100 times. You know, sometimes you think about what people say, and if it says it once, it's pretty important. If it says it twice, it's more important. If it says it's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times, it's way more important, right? This says humble over 100 times. Humble over 100 times, which means there's something we should be looking at there. If you were to look up the word humble in the dictionary, you're going to get something like this. Not arrogant, not proud, not haughty. I like that word, haughty. Anybody know what that means? I didn't. I thought I did. I thought it meant something that it didn't mean. All right? I thought it had something to do with something else. Haughty means you're saying that somebody is condescending. Somebody is pompous. Somebody is smug. Somebody is full of themselves. Somebody is superior. Somebody's vain. You're so vain. It is not, humble is not haughty. It is reflective. And humble is a spirit of submission to God the Father. Somebody wrote somewhere I read that when we are humble, when you are humble, when you humble yourselves, when you get out of arrogancy and not being proud and not being condescending and pompous and fool yourself or thinking that you're better than everybody else, because that's what really that all means, is that you become free. Free from pride, free from arrogance, free from other things. One person even said free from living by other people's standards. Because when you're living life by what other people think of you, well, all you're doing is thinking about how they think of you, which is the essence of pride and self. What's all about me? And so when we're humble, we don't care what people say about us. I'm sure it's kind of a hard thing for most of us to live by that. It is this, and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 5. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read from the Amplified Version, Matthew 5:5. It says this. It says, "Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect, are the gentle." And some versions say are the meek, right? "The kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth." In some places, you can see that to be humble has a synonym, and that's to be meek. Well, we're going to get into that in a little bit. When I look up the word humble in some places or talk to people about it, in our society, man, it doesn't have a real powerful meaning. Our society has kind of let the word humble become a weakness. A term that means that you have to be weak. A term that means that you have to be, one person put it, what was that word I asked you about? Grovel, to grovel. I had to look that up. I had to ask Nina what that was because I'm not that smart. But to grovel. And I'm going to read some scriptures. We're going to go through some scriptures here. Lord, help me. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Amen? When you get to Psalm 138, say amen. Say amen. You got to say it like that. Amen. I just got to get you involved because I don't know. I'm talking to a mirror here. Here we go, 138, verse 6 says, "Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud." All right, you can highlight that. Highlight that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. 149, verse 4. "For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." How many of us here want victory? We talk about battles in life, whatever it is, whatever kind of battle you're going through, whether it's this or that or the other thing, we want victory, yeah? And maybe it's the battle of your mind. Maybe it's your mind is just stinking thinking. Well, that's a battle. He crowns the humble with victory. Amen. Let's turn to the New Testament in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verse 2. "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love." Be humble. Be humble. Always be, well, not arrogant, not proud, not haughty, right? Always be those things, right? And be gentle, be patient, right? Making allowances for other people's faults because of your love. Don't be arrogant or proud. You know, I look at that scripture, and there's a lot that can be said there if we just stop and think about ourselves, stop and think about you, stop and think about me. Well, I'll talk about me. How about that? I can think about myself and always be humble, always be gentle. Don't be arrogant, don't be proud. Well, don't think of myself better than anybody else. Right? Everybody has stuff. Everybody's going through stuff. And don't think that I got it all together. Right? That's kind of what that all means. Don't be the one that points the fingers because there's three pointing back at you. Right? It's kind of what that's alluding to there. And if we turn to Philippians, the next chapter over, or the next book over, Philippians chapter 2, if we read it in verse 3, it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." That's the essence of being proud. That's the essence of being and being arrogant, being haughty, right? The haughty is a term that I still don't quite grasp because it's just the word. I don't know what it means. Even when I know the definition, I don't know what it means. But if I were to say, don't be condescending, don't be pompous, don't be proud, don't be a prick, right? You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of what it's getting to. Don't be full of yourself or smug or superior or vain. That's kind of what it's alluding to. And I had to look myself in the mirror the other day and I had to tell myself, hey, are you being haughty? Are you being a prick? Are you know? I think we need to do that more often because to be humble means to be reflective. To be humble means you need to look at yourself. I need to look at myself each day, look in the mirror and say, hey, what's going on with you today? Amen? And as Christians, I think that's what we need to do. And if we kept in Philippians chapter 2 and went to verse 5 and read 5 through 8, it says that you just have to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. You look at some of these words like arrogant, proud, condescending, pompous, fool yourself, smug, superior, vain, and it's all about attitude. Right? It's all about our attitude. It's all about my attitude. Right? And so it says, you must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. It says, although he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. I think we all know those people who think, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm better than you. We see that person on the street, and I'm better than you. I think we have that innate, that's where our mind goes. In verse 7, it says then, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Verse 8, it says he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, have the same attitude of Jesus. I want us to be reflective. The object for today was to be reflective on our own lives and in our own areas and to see what the Word says. I mean, the Word tells me it cuts like a two-edged sword, cutting through bone and marrow, so that we can, you know, keep refining ourselves, keep making ourselves better, right? And the only way to make ourselves better is to look at ourselves and change what we don't like. And I'm talking from the spiritual aspect. The only way to change what we don't like is to know how to change. The only way to know how to change is to know Jesus. Amen? We turn to Colossians, which is the next book over. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people, say, he chose me. Say, he chose me. Look at somebody and say, he chose you. Look at somebody else, say, he chose you. He chose you to be a holy people he loves. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's some things, I'm gonna jump around here a little bit. There are some things, and when I talked earlier and tried to get a response from you earlier about what humble meant to you in one word, and some of those things came back that humility means weak. But I want us to understand that being humble or having humility does not mean weak and does not mean passive. It's an attitude of knowing who you are in Christ. Christ said that he was humble. And we're going to go through that. I think that if we live our life by society standards, the better you know God, the more you know about God, the more you know God, the more you have a relationship with God, the less you have to prove to other people. Because it's not about that then. It's not about what so-and-so said about my shirt or so-and-so said about my haircut or so-and-so said about this earring or this tattoo or whatever it is. It's not about that because it's about my relationship with Christ. There's nothing to prove to anybody. The only thing you got to prove is that you're obedient to God. And it's not proving it to Nina. I don't have to prove it to Nina. I got to prove it to God. I prove my obedience to God by being submissive to Him. By getting out of my pride, by getting out of my arrogancy, by getting out of, I think I can do everything by myself and rely on him to do everything for me. I just got to step out in that, what they call faith, that he's going to supply all my needs. Being humble doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean passive. It's an attitude I have that I know who I am in Christ. It's an attitude that you have that you know who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? We better find out. Because I want to tell you, Christ was powerful. I'm going to say it again. Christ was powerful. He was not weak. He was strong. I love this song. I sing it to my kids most every night. And I think I've sang it to them almost every night for the past seven years. Jesus loves me, right? And what's the other song? I'll get back to that. I remember my point about it. No. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The better you know God, the less you have to prove to other people. In all reality, I don't need to prove anything to you. And you don't have to prove anything to me. The less you have to rely on other people's confirmation about who you are. The less you have to rely on other people's confirmation that you're living a life worth living. The less you have to rely on their approval. You know, true humility is talking about reflection. True humility and truly being humble means that it creates an awareness in yourself that you know who you are. Know who you are by yourself. Know who you are in Christ. And an understanding that you can't do it by yourself. An understanding that your job or your task or your talents or your calling was all given to you by God. And when you're humble, you can be used. And the story is like the potter and the clay. When you make yourself available, when you allow yourself to be molded, when you allow yourself to be washed by the water, then the potter can mold the clay. You see? If you harden and don't let yourself be washed by the blood or washed by the water, then the clay is really hard to work with. But when we soften it up with the living water, that potter can make that clay into whatever that potter wants it to be. Amen. Jesus knew who he was. He knew his purpose. He was humble and he spoke with authority. And he acted with power and authority. Because he knew who he was. Well, who are you? Who are we? Who am I? Nowhere in the Bible does it state that being humble, it means to grovel. And I don't know if you know what that means. I didn't know what that meant. So I looked it up. And well, I asked Nina too, because she's so smart. To grovel is, to grovel is to be like a dog, is to beg forgiveness, but it's to beg. So to get down in front of a person and beg them to forgive you. And so what I picture that is it's an act of me trying to get you to forgive me. Well, we don't have to do that. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to beg for forgiveness. You don't have to do a darn thing to get forgiveness because it was already given to you by the blood of Jesus on the cross. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to talk about it. It's already done. All you got to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and his blood washes away your sins, and accept that forgiveness. That's it. It's already done, shed, gone for you. And in Jesus, that's who you are. You're forgiven. So you don't have to grovel. And what I understand, you don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to get on your knees to say, please, Lord, forgive me. Please, I'll do whatever it is. I'll pay whatever kind of money you want. I'll come to church every Sunday. I'll do this every Wednesday. You don't have to beg for God's forgiveness because he already forgave you. Thank you, Jesus. There's no groveling here. If you're groveling, it's almost like that works mentality. What can I do to gain forgiveness? You don't have to do nothing. You need to recognize and repent of your sin. Do a 180. Turn around. Jesus knew who he was. Nowhere in the Bible does it mean that we have to be weak. Nowhere in the Bible does it mean we have to be weak. And I think, and I read this a few times, and I read it from who did I read it from? C.S. Lewis. Anybody ever read C.S. Lewis? He had a quote that said, pride is like spiritual cancer. It eats up the soul. And somewhere, humility somewhere along the line got linked with the word meekness, and it rhymes with weakness. And some people thought, oh, to be meek means to be weak. Oh, no, people. No. You see, weakness and meekness are not even in the same category. In our societal structure and in places that I've read, and I don't think I'm the only one that maybe had the idea when I was growing up that to be humble meant to be weak. I can remember some times where there might have been some kind of hinting that if you were humble, you had to be weak. You had to humble yourself, and you had to stay by yourself, and you couldn't say anything, and you couldn't do anything because, and that's just not the case. In our societal structure, nobody wants to say to their son or daughter to grow up and to be weak. So then because meekness rhymes with weakness, nobody wants their kid to grow up and be meek. Right? Sometimes I think I've heard little girls be called meek. And I know that because of the different kind of gender things, that might mean that if you call a boy meek, maybe that means they're weak. But ain't the truth here. Here's the truth. When you look up meek in the dictionary, it comes from the Greek word called praus. I'm probably saying it wrong. P-R-A-U-S. Here's what it means. It means that it's a powerful animal that knows how to restrain his power. I want to be meek. You know what? And it goes into all of these things that we've talked about before. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You know, I'll tell you what, look at Jesus, right? Jesus said, we're followers of Jesus, right? So we want to be like Jesus. Jesus was humble. Jesus was meek. He was so powerful and so restrained. He was a powerful animal that knew how to restrain his power. Without this humbleness, I could see where he could have become proud, as I think we all do. Once we get a little bit of power, prestige, fame, money, we all of a sudden get Haughty. Pompous, right? Without humbleness, we become proud people, and pride is like that spiritual cancer, man. It eats the soul. At the heart of pride, though, when you think about pride, people, think about it. Think about the people who know are very haughty, very proudful. Guess what is at the root of that? Competition. What do I mean by competition? Well, I got to be better than you. I got to do it better than you. Well, if you have that kind of house, I got to have a better one. If you got that kind of car, I got to have a better car. You know, we call that keeping up with the Joneses. I better be careful. At the heart of pride, people, is competition. We're a bunch of one-uppers, right? Oh, you know, I got the iPhone 8. Oh, you got the 8 Plus. I got the 10. I got the X Plus. I got the XRD Plus. I got the QRST Plus. I don't know. How many iPhones are there? Right? But really, sometimes that's how we think, you know. If we have something and somebody's like, well, you know what? I got a fossil watch. Oh, yeah? I got an Apple Watch, right? I'm saying, no, it's fake, no. But I'm saying, come on now. Are you following me here? Oh. You go to that church? Oh. Well, I go to this church. Right? It's because at the root of it is pride. At the root of it is competition. I got to do better than you, right? I got to do better than you. And there was a scripture that was shared with some other guys that I talked to, and it's Acts, and it's about Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. And he was a sorcerer, right? So he did some crazy stuff. You know, some people could call it witchcraft or whatever it is. Wizardry, right? Love you all the time. And so he finds Philip, right? And he believes, he becomes saved, he becomes baptized, right? And then he's following Philip and all the disciples, and they're seeing what the power of God really has, right? And then he has the audacity and the pride to say, hey, how much is that? Can I buy that? That's because on the inside, he believed that Christ was the Christ, right? He believed that Jesus was the Savior. He was baptized, right? But then something inside of him all of a sudden reverted back to his old ways to say, oh, I bet I could get rich if I could buy that power, because that's what he was used to, right? And so he got real prideful and went up to disciples and said, hey, you know, I know that you guys are doing this cool stuff, and can I buy that? I want it. I want it because I want to be able to use it, I want to be able to do it, and I want to be able to make money on it. I want to exploit it. I want to manipulate it so I could do better than you. So I can be better than you. So I can go out and I can have my own fame. At the root of pride is competition. We measure success by how well we do based upon other people. Well, you know what? I have a good job. I get paid, you know, $30-some thousand a year. Oh yeah. Well, I get paid 40. Well, I get paid 60. You know what? I don't have a job, but I still get $1,000. I don't know. We compare. I don't know. You know what I mean? We compare jobs. Hey, where do you work? oh, you know, I work over here. You know, I don't know who's watching, but no, by no means. But I mean, I sometimes hear this. I work at Clawson. Oh, you work at the high school? Ooh. Right? you know, come on now. Oh, you know what? I work at Canyon Vista Hospital. Oh, man. I work at Haven. You all follow me, right? We compare jobs, you know. We compare. It's a comparison. It's competition for us. At the root of it is competition. We get prideful about, oh, well, maybe I'm not as good. Maybe I'm not, oh, I don't work at the right place. Oh, I'm not wearing the right clothes, or I don't have the right haircut. I don't have the right makeup on. I don't know. We compare jobs. We compare salaries, right? We compare family dynamics. Oh, your kids are horrible. Well, my kids, right? I think I hit a chord there. We compare things, and we compare brothers and sisters' jobs. You know, I heard a story about, you know, a family that, you know, there was a younger son, and the other day the two became real big researchers, and the older two became, and so there's a lot of pressure on the younger kid to do the same thing. Well, you got to be like your older brothers. There's a lot of pressure there, right? But because it's a comparison thing. And then what happens when they fail? Or when they don't want to? Well, you should have did it like your brothers, or you should do it like this, or you should do it like that, right? There's a prideful aspect there, and at the root of pride is competition. That's what I'm trying to get down to is what's the root of being pride? Why are we prideful? And we compare this, we compare money, we compare families, we compare wives, we compare husbands, we compare everything. More superficially, we compare cars or watches or phones or houses or street corners or flowers that are in my this or this and that and the other thing. We compare. Mine's better than yours, and yours is better than mine. Oh, no. The Bible talks about pride and being humble, in which pride is seeking purpose and things by your own power and seeking approval from others. That's pride. Humility then is, humility helps you to recognize that all you are and all you have is first and foremost a gift from God. When we realize and understand that all we have and all we are, everything we have is a gift from God, I didn't do anything. All I did was accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross and saved me from eternal damnation. That's all I did. And with that comes the blessings that Nina was talking about earlier. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't do nothing. Because if I try to do something, I'm going to get prideful. If I tried to do everything in my own power, I'm going to try to keep up with the Joneses, and I'm going to get haughty. I believe that it starts there, that we have to realize that everything that you got is a gift from God. Everything. Everything. It starts there, but it doesn't have to stop there, which means that we have what we have as a gift from God, but I believe you also have gifts from other people. People speak into your life, people give into your life, people do into your life, and that contributes to our lives. A couple things before we end here. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says this: a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And I say this because I'm going to read some scriptures that say this. To be humble means to live like this. To be humble means to live like a gentle answer deflects anger. A gentle answer deflects anger, but a harsh word makes tempers flare. Where are we at with that? Where's our mindset? Where's our actions? Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians 4, 29, basically through 32, says this. Verse 29 in chapter 4 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words may be an encouragement to those who hear them." In verse 30 it says, "And don't bring sorrow to God's people by the way you live. Remember, he identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption." In verse 31 then says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." In 32 it says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Getting out of ourselves, humbling ourselves, and getting more into other people, being more interested in helping other people, and not so much on me. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, says this. It says, "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone else has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." That tells me right there this, that it's not about me. It's not about me. I need to go and reconcile something here first. Then it's about me. You see? I need to reconcile this relationship here. Then I can go and then be right with God. Because I wronged somebody or they wronged me, I'm going to reconcile this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to ask for forgiveness here. I'm going to get out of myself and stop being prideful, right? Stop being haughty. Ask for forgiveness. Then Jesus said, then come and present your altar sacrifice. To be humble means to live like that. To be tenderhearted, to be caring. That's how Jesus lived. Tenderhearted, caring for everyone. Helping the person on the street, right? Helping the widow, helping the kid that was miles away. And the Roman soldiers said, "Just say the word, Jesus. The word is there." Boom. Right? Coming to the house. Laying hands, praying with people, right? Doing the work that God sent him to do. God has a work for you. It's not just for you. It's for you to use for other people. To humble yourself means this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ." You know, to be humble, we talked about to be humble, and for most people outside of church maybe, may think that humble means meekness and meekness means weakness. Well, this is Paul talking here saying, listen, though I am the least of these, though he's thinking less of himself and more of other people, he's saying, God gave me something to do, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it with the power that Christ gave me to do it. Speaking what I need to speak, saying what I need to do, acting how I need to act. But understanding I'm the least of these. It's not in my power. It's in Christ through me's power. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. That means that it's not me. It's the Spirit in me. It's the Spirit in you that is giving the gift out. It's what's inside of you. When we believe the Holy Spirit, what? We unlock the key with Jesus, right? We unlock the key and the Holy Spirit is alive in you to flow through you. That means it's in you but flowing out of you. Amen. To humble means to speak directly when necessary. And I want to read Matthew chapter 21. Most of you probably know this story. Probably talk about it all the time. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, says, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked down over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, verse 13, the scripture declared, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. What I'm saying is that, yeah, Jesus was humble. Jesus was gentle. Jesus was that meek lion, that meek animal that knew how to restrain himself. And when he saw something that wasn't right, he spoke up. He said it. He acted how he was supposed to act. He saw that the temple was being turned into a den of thieves, right? He said, no. This is not right. I need to speak up and say something. Amen? That power is in all of us. We read the word, you know what the word says about this, that, and the other thing. To be humble means to speak directly when necessary. It's not to speak out of turn, but it's to speak up when things aren't right. To be humble means that we must lose ourselves in relationship with our Creator, God. We have to give up ourselves in order to have our real self. What does the word say? What does it matter if I gain the world if I lose my soul? What does Jesus say? Take up your cross every day. Carry it. You know? When we lose ourselves in our relationship to God, when you lose yourself in your relationship to God, which means you step out of yourself and you stop being prideful about thinking that I have to do this, I have to do this. No, just submit yourself to God. Submit. That's another definition of humble, is to be submissive to our Creator, to be submissive to God and let Him flow through you. Let your Creator, who created you and who gifted you with gifts and talents, let Him direct your life. Right? Because then your talents, your gifts, everything you have will then be flowed directly how He wanted it to be. And it won't be misinterpreted. It won't be misconstrued by your brain. Everything will be flowing out. Submit to Him. When you submit to Him, you don't care what other people think about you. Because all that matters is what God thinks about you. All right? That's what matters. Because when you are controlled by what others think, that's all you're ever living about. It's about what others think of you. And it's never doing what God thinks about you. God says that you're His child. You're His loving child. That's what He says about you. He says that He's got gifts upon gifts upon gifts upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings, blessings and blessings and blessings for you. All we have to do is submit ourselves and take them in. You think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son knew that his father had everything. Had everything. He squandered everything. He squandered his giftings. He squandered his everything. But you know what happened? He came back. And you know what that father said? Welcome back, son. Welcome back. You know what? It doesn't matter what kind of pride you've been through. Guess what? Just go back. Just come back. That's all they're saying. Just come back and I'll clothe you. I'll feed you. I'll take care of your stuff. That's what God says to you right now. He says, look, it doesn't matter what kind of pride you've been through. It doesn't matter what kind of competition you're living through. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself, because it's all wrong. I love you. Come back. I'll clothe you. I'll give you whatever you need. I will supply your needs. That's what he says. And he's saying that to all of you right now. It doesn't matter what's going on. Humble yourself. Be reflective. Look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? I guess I ain't doing things too right. Maybe I need to go back. Hey, look in the mirror and evaluate. To humble is to be reflective. You know, Jesus would often go away and pray. And I believe sometimes he would ask himself, did I say the right thing, Lord? Did I use the right parable? Because he was fully God, but fully human. You know, and he went over in the temple and he threw over some tables. That was direct power. Direct anger. Not anger necessarily at the people, but anger at what was going on. And we need to understand that. I think that, I believe that we can't live our lives controlled by what other people think about you. That's why Jesus said, love everybody. Because then now we know what everybody thinks about each other. We love you no matter what. No matter what's going on, there's love there. No matter what's going on, there's help there. No matter what you're going through, there's help. No matter what's going on in your head or in your body or whatever, there's help. There's something there for you. I have something for you. Come back to me is what God is saying. Come back to me. And the way you come back to me is by recognizing that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Amen. Two last scriptures. Matthew chapter 23. I think. Matthew 23 verse 12 says this. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to read this more often. It says that, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, sometimes you look around the world sometimes and you look around the news and maybe that's going on. Interesting thing. And sometimes when you think about our own lives, when we have thought of ourselves as being haughty, we somehow, some way, get humbled. But if we humble ourselves, God says, you will be exalted. In whatever way that meant, but you will be exalted. Humble yourself and you will be exalted. James, last scripture. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I'm sure those of you who read the word probably read this word over and over again. Verse 7. I'm going to read 7 through 10. It says, so humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are we having problems with the devil? Are we having problems with Satan? Johnny said that God really doesn't have an enemy, but we do. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If we got a problem with the devil or any kind of devil or whatever's going on, guess what it says? Humble yourself. Know that you can't do it by yourself. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Let that Holy Spirit that's inside you rise up. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. And it says, then humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. That I want. How many want that? Lift you up in honor in God's realm, in God's world. If we humble ourselves, get out of our stinking thinking, humble ourselves, say, you know what, God, you're right. I haven't done anything right in my own ability. You take the wheel. You take control, and I'll just let it sit back. You know what I think about when I read some of these scriptures here today? I think about some military movies or some other movies that come about where there's the front lines, right? Or they put the big tank in front. Because the big tank will do what? The big tank will clear the way, right? And then what to everybody else does what? Follows right behind that big tank, right? God is the big tank, right? God is that front lines. All we got to do is follow the big tank. All we got to do is follow that front line because then we'll be safe. But we're going to follow him where he wants to take us. Right? And for all of us, I mean, for the Israelites, it was the promised land. But for us, it's the promised and the promises. That's where he wants to take us, to the promises that he gave you. He wants to take you to the promises. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I want those promises. I want to live in those promises. And I want to live in those promises so much that other people see those promises and they can live in the promises. Right? I want to grab them along and say, hey, come on. We're going. Look, we're following this tank and he's going to clear the way. And as we go, promises, promises, promises. Live in those promises. Amen? But it's not by your doing. All of this roundabout stuff in the Word to say it's not about you. For us, it's not about us. Meaning that for me, it's not about me. For me, it's about doing what God wants me to do. For me, it's about what God has called me to do. For me, it's about the talents that God has given me, the skills that God has given me, that I have to walk in that. And then to do that, I need to follow him, right? For God, it's all about you. For God, all of this is about you. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved you. It's all about you. He wants you. He wants you so bad, he gave his only son to make that happen. Now, if we don't get that, I don't know what we're going to get. He, the creator of the universe, the creator of whatever, everything, gave of himself for you. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. God is so good that when we choose to humble ourselves, God just takes over. And what does he do? He takes over and leads you to the promised land. He comes in like a flood and leads you to the promises. You can read about all the promises in Deuteronomy, in the New Testament, all those promises. You can read about in Malachi where he says, test me, test me. Why does he say test me? Because he wants you to do it. Because he wants to show you. You don't believe me? Try it. You don't believe me? I got these promises for you. Walk with me. See what happens. Right? You see, Simon, the sorcerer, believed, baptized, was walking with him, saw him. He just got in the wrong mindset. Got prideful, got proud, got arrogant, got greedy. We're not too far off. I don't believe. Because I need to be real. We need to be real. We need to be honest. We need to be real that sometimes we get prideful because of greed or because of competition. That's okay. You know why? It doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to stop there. You can stop that and get on the gravy train. Get on God's train. Move forward. He's the locomotive. He's the engine. Plow through that. Whatever's on the path, guess what? Plow right through. Plow right through. Amen? Get on God's train. No need to be haughty. No need to be prideful. No need to be vain. What we need to be, what you need to be is humble, that quiet strength, that controlled power. To understand that you're a child of God, to understand that God loves you, God has something for your life, God has empowered you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did and more. And to do that, to let God work through you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you got to get out of yourself. It's an attitude adjustment that I can't do it because when I try to do it, I'm all messed up. But when I let God do it, it's all cleaned up. Amen. 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 Let's stand. I want to close your eyes and just close your eyes. Don't look around. Imagine that I like to be visual and vision and so you can see things. And so I want you to picture yourself through the back of your eyelids, a mirror, looking at yourself. Since to be humble means to be reflective. Means that we need to look at ourselves to see where we're really at. And I'm no judge. I'm no jury. But I know one. And he loves you. You know, I want you to picture something. I want you to picture you standing there in the middle of a field. I want you to picture your daddy standing there with open arms, calling your name. I want you to picture your dad, your father, your heavenly father, standing in a field, screaming your name with passion and with authority. Come home. Turn from your ways because I got something special for you. I want you to picture yourself running. 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 Running, running, running. Jumping in his arms. And I want you to picture him squeezing you tight. Saying, welcome home. Welcome back. Welcome back. Son. Welcome back, daughter. I got good things for you. I got good plans for you. Let me take care of you. Let me help you. Let me point you in the right direction. You don't have to do it yourself anymore. I got you. That's your dad. That's your heavenly father. That's your heavenly father. Amen. Now, thank you, Jesus. You are so loved, you don't even know it. You are so loved, you don't see it. You're so loved that pride has got you blind. The word says, humble ourselves and you'll be exalted. Humble yourself and God will work through you in amazing ways. The Bible says, He created you for a purpose and for a reason, for a plan. And the plan is to prosper. The plan is to be awesome in Him. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look at yourself. I want you to say, you're awesome. I want you to say, I'm awesome. And this isn't a pride thing. What I'm talking about is what's on the inside of you. That's awesome. And because that's awesome, you're awesome. Because God is so good, you're awesome. You have the power to do all these things. You have the resources to do all these things. You have it. You have it. You have it. You have it. You and you and you and everybody has these awesome resources that's inside of you. We just got to use it, people. You got to use it. Amen? I encourage you. Be more reflective in your day, in your speech, in your actions. Humble yourself, because when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed day. Have an exciting day. Have a godly day. Praise Jesus. Amen. There's Spanish service this afternoon? Yes or no? Yes? Spanish service at 3? Are they here? Oh, they're not here? Oh, maybe not. Never mind. Youth group? Youth group at 5? Praise God.